Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day and Lord, for this book we're fixing to open. We approach it reverently because we believe it's the absolute word of God. And we ask for the leadership and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to understand it. There's so much in here we need to know, Lord, to know that in fact, to have knowledge and then to be able to put it into practice for this life. Because only what you say and what we do about what you say matters. It's wasting time to do anything else, and we pray we stick as near as we could to the Word of God because we need every minute of it while we're in church, since we're only here a short while. Please help us fill this place, dear Father, with the Word of God and while we're here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. This is part three of a part series that we started out teaching a few weeks ago about the law of faith. And it's been a number of weeks now since we taught any more about this. So I hope that you can understand what we're trying to do and hope that God will give us an insight. I want to read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. And then I want to go over and read Romans chapter 3, verse 27. And then as tied up together a little bit by reading Galatians chapter 3 and down a few verses from there. But let's read here first, and then we'll try to finish this tonight on this series. He said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Then he said, "By faith Abel offered God unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." God testified his gifts, and by it he been dead, yet speaketh. Then he said, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, notice again, someone said, "Well, did he surprise Enoch when God took him? He walked with God and was not, but God took him." Well, he might have been a little surprised to see how God took him, in the sense that he didn't die physically. It's top of the Old Testament saint, and showing of the New Testament saints have been a resurrection. But the fact you see that he said he pleased God, set forth that Enoch walked with God, and whatever God saw fit to do was okay with him. And especially, I'm sure, when he removed him from this earth, all the attacks he had as a serving God, then put him where God himself was at. I'm sure that's one move he was very glad to see, don't you? In the presence of God. And so then he says this, "But without faith," once he said that he had testimony that he pleased God, "without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now look with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 3, and we go down about verse 27. And I would go further than this, but we read all these a few weeks ago, and I don't want to go back and waste any time now. These scriptures that have been read, as Paul had given us, how we got the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. All have sinned, need that righteousness. We can't establish ourselves. He tells us how we can get it, but he said in verse 27, "Where is boasting then?" When he finished and showed how we get the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Where is boasting? Where is the boasting at?" And he said, "There is any." He said, "It's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith." Now, the boast is not in ourselves, but in the fact the law of faith gives us some instruction about things in life that helps us. Then he said in verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Now, I want you to note with me that he said, he mentioned the fact, "Nay, by what law of works? Nay, that is no, but by the law of faith." That is, we have nothing to boast of because by the law of faith, it's what God did for us we cannot do for ourselves. And then if you look with me also in Galatians chapter 3, and we look down about verse 10, Paul says again, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continued not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evidence, for the law, for the just shall live by faith." And what's this? "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Now, sometimes you use the word law so many times in different ways, and there's different laws that God set forth in His book, and I'll read some in a few minutes. But we're talking about where he says here, but by the law of faith, and then he talks about the law of God, where we're not justified by the law. And it sounds like a contradiction. You have to keep in mind, there's a difference in the law of God of Moses, which we cannot keep, and the law of faith that God gives us that we can keep because Christ did it all for us. And when we trust Him by faith, He did everything for us. So the law of faith is we learn things. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So in Jesus Christ is the law of faith. That is, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's by grace. And so if I understand in my mind when I talk about these laws, you get in line. The law of Moses gives a number of laws that fall in that category. But the law of faith is not the law of Moses. Because if we could keep the law of Moses, we wouldn't need the law of faith. We'd just been obedience.
That's right.
But because we could not keep the law, I'm glad He came along with the law of faith. And I have to understand that to understand what God was doing. Now, we last a few weeks ago when we got to the second part, and this is the third part, we talked about identifying faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 does that for us. We don't even have to worry about it. God does it for us. He says faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. If you look with me in verse 30 of chapter 11, 10, verse 39, I should say, you find that he finishes up what he said, and he says, but we are not of them. He's talking about those that who have made a profession of faith and where they fall back and all. He said verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that afterwards ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. If we do the things that God has called us in the right way, and we get somewhat discouraged because it seems like God has used, we don't understand His patience in waiting, He's forbearing, He's loving, then why He waits as long to come back, because the promise He's made seem to be nullified because He doesn't come back. And He said, that's not it. They're not notified. It's just the fact you got to understand more about my grace and about my patience did it with humanity. In verse 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, it looks like Paul said, there are some who make professions of faith, but it's false because they draw back. How do I know that? Because the next verse clarifies what he says in verse 38. He said, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There is a difference in faith in Christ and believing to the saving of the soul. Now, you heard me say before, this is not written at that time where it was in verses and chapters and so forth. It just continued to flow through. So if you would read this, you'd read it like this. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now is a conjunction and a time. It leads into what he's trying to say. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that's not seen. And so we see and understand, we define faith. And then we looked at how we overcome the world through faith in Jesus Christ in 1 John, as we looked at it down about chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then we went to James, and that's where we ended up at last, the last time, in James chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. When it talks about that, that we're going to fall into sin, and let me just turn over and read that. He says this: now, brethren, count it all joy when you fall under temptation. He didn't say if you fall. He said when. That means you're going to have temptation come your way. It's going to come to you and I. We know this. He said, count it all joy. Now, I've said before, it's hard to count joy sometimes to be joyful when we go through trials and temptations. But God said, count it joy. Why? Because if He allows us to go through something that we go through in this life, there's a reward greater than what we're having to go through in the end. And when we count it for joy to know that things don't happen to us haphazardly, we're in God's hand, and God has made a lot of promise to us. And sometimes when we get caught into the situation of life, we don't see God answer the problems like we think He should. But God is letting us know, you count it joy, because the end result for my child is going to come out victorious in the end, no matter what you're going through. And then he said, know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now notice the trying of your faith. We like to talk about it, and I said last time, there are such a thing as we think, but that we have been tried. Well, I have said many times in the last few weeks, you heard me say, God don't have to try us to see what we're going to do. He already knows what we're going to do. So it's the trying of our faith. That is the trying of our faith to see how strong we are, whether we're growing in it all, that we may know who we are, that Satan may know where we're at. Satan don't even know the strength of our faith. No one else does. I guarantee you, when you see someone say they're believing in Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, just because they say it, you don't accept it to the place that you continue to believe that. Or if you do accept it, you change pretty quick, like when you see their lifestyle is not like a Christian. You see what I'm saying? And it's all based the same way, because if the lifestyle is not like a Christian, then God teaches us, if you're saved, our conversation or our way of life is heavenly. That's where we're going, and we're preparing for that. And you've heard me say many times, we may have a few places we slip and fall here because we don't know it all yet, but the lifestyle will not be that which destroys the things of God, but in turn tried our best to enhance the things of God. He talks about the trials of this. Notice this. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect in entire want in nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask to God. And he giveth to him, he said, liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given unto him. But if any man asked in, but let him ask in faith, gathering wavered. For he that wavereth, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He said, don't waver on that just because it didn't happen. Look at it from the fact it's something we need, if we know we need it, and it would help us enhance and live for God better. God will see that we get it quicker under those circumstances. So we know this trials try to separate us from the faith in Christ Jesus. And that means then Satan most of the time will be the ones who put these things in our faith or in our path, because he's trying to separate us. He couldn't keep us from trusting Christ, but he's trying to separate from the works that God calls us to do to manifest to this world we are who we are. God already knows. In fact, Acts 15:18, you go read that and you find he's known all things from the very beginning of time. So the question is, our faith is proven to us. Have we proved the law of faith in our life? We say, I'm saved. Have I proved the law of faith in my life that I'm trusting God enough that it automatically directs me in what I'm doing in life this side of eternity? And for instance, the work, a good way to understand this to some degree, that we work, and I might have hit this a little bit, where we work at. We don't work somewhere enough for nothing. We work for a paycheck. Now, here's the thing about this, that many of us know what it is to go work for someone. They say, but wait a minute, you're going to have to work for us 2 weeks before you get paid because we hold back a week. Now, you know what you're doing once you do that? You're working by faith. Why? You only have that person's word. It says word may be good, but I've known some people who had went under. Isn't it? That's right. Now, nothing wrong in that, because that's just a contract being said between a worker, an employer, and an employee. But I'm saying to you, we exercise faith all the time. And therefore, that helps us to understand a little bit about trusting God. Surely we can trust God better than we can trust any man. Amen. Because he keeps his promises under those circumstances. So have you proved the law of faith in your life personally? Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, notice something as the writer of Sessions, I believe it was the Apostle Paul, look in verse 6 with me again at some words precisely, and then we'll get into this and finish it quick-like. In Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 6, if you look down at this verse, notice some words. He said, first of all, but without faith it's impossible to please God. Now, that means it's impossible. It means you might as well stop, because you're trying to do something without faith. It ain't getting nowhere. Without faith, stop. If it's not faith, it's not going to work. Without faith, it's impossible. Impossible means it can't be done. Right? Right. So if I'm trying to do anything that's on energy, without faith in him, and that means I have to understand how you walk by faith in life and not by sight, to trust him in things. So we trust him because we know it's possible if he said it. So now notice another thing he said. He said, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's not that he was or he might be so or he will, that he is. That means you know he exists. And you know that he's able to do beyond anything we could think or imagine. Notice he said, must believe. For he that cometh to God must believe. Must believe, ladies and gentlemen, means it's necessary. That means there can be no objections about it whatsoever. We have to believe what God has said about His Son. And notice He said that He is, and that He is a reward of them that diligently seek. And we said right at the end of the service the other night, three or four weeks ago, seek Him, not things. That's the reason you can go back to Matthew 6 and you understand, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Why? Because He is the author of those things. In verse 32, He said, God knoweth we have need of all these things, so He can supply these things for us. Here He says, seek God, for that is the reservoir where the things come that we need in this life. So we seek God, not things. And then He says, you're a rewarder, notice, of them that diligently seek Him, not just seeks Him. That shows us we must not run out of patience at asking God for something that we know could be used best. Not so much just for me to have, but just the fact that He can enhance His kingdom in through me if this comes about. That God's kingdom will be enhanced through me if I get the answer of this particular prayer. So I can use something more so than just the things I have at the time before I ask for something from God. And in rewarder, it means that you're going to be better off for receiving it in the end anyhow. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I understand, I see the definition of faith, and I see also that the one that overcomes the world in their faith, 1 John, again, chapter 5. So the last thing I want to do, though, is understanding what faith is. Understanding what faith is. Now, we look at the word faith, and we look at the word believe. The word faith and believe are basically the same words, but they're not the same. The word itself, believe, means to have a mental persuasion or have an opinion implying knowledge. Faith goes a step further. Faith means being persuaded implies knowledge and confidence in fact that God will do certain things because of divine truth. In this particular situation, you find faith is being persuaded and implies confidence that it's going to happen. Belief may give a hope, but hope may not come true. Hope is chance. There's no such a thing as a chance. With God, hope is not chance, because hope has a place for us in that situation. Now, let me try to explain how can you look at this thing of faith and also belief. Well, you take a woman, for instance. Look at a woman. A woman's a female. A woman's also a mother. A woman's also a wife. She's all three, but all three are different. You take a male. A male's a husband. He's a man. He is also a male. He's a dad. And though he's a man, there's no difference because he's all three. He's all of these things. And so when you look at faith and you look at belief, then you try to find exactly where they fit at, because they will enhance our faith to understand how these things work in our life. They work together, but they're actually different. You can say, I believe, but it might not be true faith. How do I know that? Turn to Mark with me, for instance, if you will. You see, there's so much we don't know, and sometimes we have to ask God something that sounds foolish to some people, but it's certainly true. Look in Mark chapter 9. Now, if I paraphrase, here's the story where we had Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I want to leave that scene. This is after that scene. They come down in the valley where the other disciples are at. And there's something going on in a commotion. And he asked the scribes what question he asked these other disciples in verse 16 of chapter 9 of the book Gospel of Mark. And they said they had, and one of the multitudes answered and said, I have a son that's here, has a dumb spirit. And going forth, he explains how he captures him and does him, throws him into fire and water and all these things. And I happened to see that one time. I seen a young boy, who had this measure, this same thing. He had a problem mental with him, and fire attracted him. And his parents, I remember we were at a social thing for church one time, and I remember that this young boy, all of a sudden they built a fire to cook some hot dogs. The next thing they know, the dad had to go get him and capture him because that fire attracted him, and he'd have thrown himself in that fire if he hadn't known it. I thought about this at that time. This young boy didn't understand, had some kind of a situation that medical had assigned as kind of like a demon, because he would have thrown himself in that fire that day if they hadn't stopped him, because it attracted him. Well, that's what this dad says. He said he sees a fire. He just likes to throw himself into the fire. And he said, watch, he said in verse 22, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This dad was concerned about his son. And he told the situation. He said, if you can help us, have compassion on us and do something for us. Notice what Jesus said. I have a lot of folks who charismatic use this verse. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many times have you heard that verse said? If he can believe, just keep in mind, all things are possible. But I like what this young man said, or this dad said. Notice. What do you mean believe? He certainly must believe because he brought him to the disciples, and even when Christ came, he must believe. He asked him to help. If he can't help us, have compassion on us, help us. And then notice what this father said. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, folks, get this in your mind. It wasn't some casual word he was talking about. He had a broken heart. He was crying out from his heart with tears in his eyes, and he cried out, Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. That's where one of us ought to be when we trust in God. We're not so close to God that we understand all the things he works. And there comes a time we come to a point, almost stop, say, Lord, please help me get beyond this. Please help me understand this. Lord, he said, all things are possible. I believe, Lord, I believe as much as I know how to believe, but there's so much here I'm overwhelmed by. What can I do? God, let me be like this dead. Father, please help my unbelief. Any trace of unbelief that may be in my life, please help me so I can understand why I'm facing what I'm facing. That's where faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this dead is very much moved. And, of course, we know God did heal his son. He had a son with a dumb spirit. When we talk about faith, things have to meet such a situation. I think probably if we could understand a little more, I have a quarter here. Did you know that this quarter has got two sides to it? Did you know that it's got a head of a president on one side and it's got an eagle on the back side? Did you know that you could scratch those sides off and it would be worthless? It'd be more than a slug. And yet, with those ingredients on it, we can spin it by faith and use that. That's what God is telling us. Faith is not something that he hangs and dangles over us that we can just grab and do anything. Faith is something that can help us chart a course to believe God. And when we believe in like we should, it's going to revolutionize our life so we'll be where he would have us to be in this life. It takes both sides of the quarter to make it possible to be used. And it takes the faith of understanding that faith is not just to get things from God selfishly, because we are selfish people, folks. We are. If it's like some people say that with God Almighty, the only reason they go to him is so they can get something from him. When's the time we don't say, Lord, I want to go and let you get something from me? And if you give me something, it's going to be enhanced to promote your kingdom. Because I believe it's going to help me if it happens like that. And I believe God honors that. So I know that the law of faith at this time, it takes both sides. Now, we've said about the conjunction. Note is, this verse, when you look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it's not will, but it's now, faith is. God already knows what we're doing, and he's trying our faith so we can understand this. God already has made a way out of anything. That's another thing I must understand. My faith will help me trust God during something, but he reminds me in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, he's already made a way to escape. Isn't that amazing? Here I am in the midst of trouble. And by the way, you find yourself there. If not, you will. Just mark down. If you're saved, you're going to find yourself something you can't handle. You're going to need someone more powerful than you are. And it doesn't seem like when you're in the midst of a trial that answers come that quick. But they come. He's consoling us when we don't even know he's consoling us. And we have to see it later. And what happens, we've come to this particular point that in life that we just wonder, where you're at. Lord, I can't understand this. And it's so overwhelming. Even if God did come and do something, we wouldn't see it right then. That's the reason we have to keep moving. And you heard me say, and then eventually look back and say, man, God does there. Look what he did. Look what he brought me through. Look what he did. I didn't realize that. We have to see the hindsight sometimes to understand what if we walk by faith like we should. Because walking by faith is not seeing the hindsight, but believing that what God did for me last year, he'll do this year, even though it may be greater. Because I'm trusting him by faith as I walk this side of eternity. So God, all right, faith is a subject. His faith counteracts with physical things hoped for. Now, when you talk about hope cannot be counteracted without faith. When you have hope and you don't have it counteract with faith, then it's no more than demands hope. It's a chance. With God, hope is not a chance. We have to understand that. Hope is a goal setter. Hope has no power to deliver us. Hope cannot be counteract without faith. Hope might help you while the boat's sinking, but it won't keep the boat from sinking. The boat can still sink and you're hoping for it. But when God intervenes, you won't sink. You may think you will. You say, well, I know some people, the boat physically, and use it physically, sunk and they drown. Well, it may be, but I'm telling you this, they still won because of faith. Evidence is proof. What does proof say? Proof says there's something that you have not seen as of yet. It is there, but I have not touched it yet. It's there, but I've not seen it yet. But God has promised it, and I know it's there. That's what faith does. And Satan has trouble shaking somebody who has strong faith like that. It's like the sun or some other planet. You know they're there. And even the fact we've seen the sun, but some planets we have not seen. And yet they're still there, whether I see them or not, whether I touch them or not, it's still there. If I was blind, physically couldn't see the sun, doesn't mean it's not there, because I cannot see it. I cannot perceive this by my five senses. What this is telling me that in my life now, the things that God may give me, I'll not be able to necessarily sense them with the five senses, because faith is substance of things hoped for. It's evidence, proof of things that He's promised to us in this life, as He says in verse 1, proof, evidence of things not seen. When we look at this, the law of faith assures us that what God has promised is true. When I look at some of the laws that God gives us that falls out of the law of God, I find that in Hebrews chapter 12, looking through that, some laws that He sets forth. For instance, let me show you 12 quick laws. He said, I'll give them quicker, the law of existence. You must believe that God is, in verse 6. The law of providence is that you must believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. He said He would, in verse 6. The law of the invisible. You must prepare to believe in things beyond the experience of your senses, in verse 5. The law of the future preparation. You must believe that God is working for you and prepare things in advance for His people who love Him, who trust Him, who believe in Him, verse 9 and 10. The law of endurance. You must believe the way to wait perfectly until God's time and perfect or purpose fulfilled in you, verse 11 and 12. The law of sure conviction, the ability to see the mountainside problem as a mere acorn in God's hand. It may look large to you and I, but God is a simple thing, as we see in verse 10. The law of incomplete knowledge. Abraham went out knowing what he not knowing where he was going in verse 8, looking for a city. By the way, he never saw, but he kept looking for it. Isn't that amazing? God gave us an illustration like that. He went looking for a city, but never saw it. Here, by the way, he has seen it or will see it, depending on how God's had it. He's working on it now. He knows it's there now. He said, again, that he is the law of knowledge. Abraham, we looked at it. He's the law of reliance. Abraham believed God personally, the word to him in verse 19. The law of heavenly ambition. Faith is directed to God's purpose and to God's ends and cannot function properly if focused on here and now because it seeks first many times that city or something in the future we've not seen as yet, verse 15 and 16, Hebrews chapter 11. The law of possibility. All things are possible with God, even raising Isaac from the dead. We see that in verse 19. The law of renunciation. The faith, the faith operates in renouncing all that is not faith in grasping God's promises as we trust Him in verse 24. The law of conquest. External in conquering Canaan, internal in resisting persecution and testifying to God. Faith does not submit to circumstances, and we see that in verse 26 through 30. Those things are setting forth the law of faith that comes out as we look at the law of Moses. And that's the difference we see. In faith, Romans 10, 17, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the history of serving God makes faith, listen, more real. The more we serve God by faith, the more real He is as we get older in the Lord. So faith is a lifestyle for us here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the just shall live by faith. Here's the thing, though. Now, when Paul quoted that, the Holy Spirit, He gave it to us. But when you read what he got it from in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, verse 4, It says the just shall live by his faith. And that's the difference. I can't live by your faith. You can't live by mine. Faith is measured every last one of us when we're born into the family of God, and it can increase as we study the Word of God. But it's our faith. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by your faith individually. I can't get from you. You can't get me. I can learn from you, and thank God for that. I can learn how faith can be given to us beyond the measure that he gives us. We know it's measured out to start with to us. I want to continue to learn about God and his kingdom. God's word shows us the spiritual world. Ladies and gentlemen, people say, well, I can't see the spiritual world. This book shows me the spiritual world. Everything in this book that I cannot see physically, like go back to Jerusalem, like go over to the Holy Land, walk on the street where Jesus walked, look at some places where he was raised. Okay? I can see those places, but those things I cannot see, God gives it in this book by faith. You can trust this book better than you can trust any book you've ever read, including the math, the science, English, whatever's there. This book can be trusted. God gives it to us, and thank God for just that. God's word shows us the spiritual world. You cannot have evidence of something that does not exist. And he tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't have evidence of something that doesn't exist. You know that? You can try to prove anything you want to if you don't have evidence of it. If you got evidence, it's got to exist somewhere or another. And God is telling us faith is subject to hope things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that he said to us that's not seen. It's evidence. It's proof. It is that which God himself says, I can back it up because I do not lie. So God's word is the spiritual world. And Jesus brought God's world to us. Isn't that amazing? You know, when Jesus was incarnated and born in a body of flesh, God was bringing his world, the spiritual world, to us that we could see it manifested in the flesh of his Son. You saw an absolute perfect human being walking this earth when Jesus Christ took on a body of flesh. You saw an absolute person who pleased God, never displeased him. When you see him, you see God incarnating the flesh, doing what he would never ask us to do when he could do it for he would never ask us to do something that he himself could not do. And he proved it to us by coming. Jesus brought this world to us. Romans 12, 1, 2, 3, and 4. He talks about even God gives all his children the measure of faith to start out in the Christian life. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord is the command of God, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge comes with this book. The grace is welcome to God to see how he undergirds us and gets us through things in this life. For by grace are you saved through faith, not yourself. It's even God's grace that brings us the record of faith itself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is the symbol of our faith. Faith is always in the present tense. I'm going to say something, ladies, and I believe this with all my heart. And you won't understand, and I can't understand all, but I believe this. God is always in the now. He has no past. He has no future. He's always in the present. Now, you and I can't do that because we had a beginning. And we will have an end in this life in time. He deals with us in time. God needs not time. He's from eternity to eternity. In eternity, you don't measure like you do in time. God has no yesterdays. He has no future except how he deals with us in time. Boy, then you wonder why some people play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, God is real, more real than all you and I put together. And he's trying to show us something that he's doing, and what a wonderful story it is for us to get it. God is in the now. Hope cannot change circumstances, but faith can. Spirituality is not based upon our senses. It's based upon things that we can see and hear but cannot touch right now. Faith does not deny our senses. That's the reason I have trouble with some people say, well, you can name and claim it. Oh, if you got a pain over here, just claim it's not there. That's foolish. If the body is hurting, it's going to hurt. Now, God can change it, and God does change some things. But I tell you what, I believe a person would be a fool if he gave us some already to change the pain, and I won't take it, and I'll trust him to do it. There's nothing wrong in doing that. But God has already answered a lot of prayers for us in medicine, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's the thing. I should never take enough to abuse it. God has given it to it. God is merciful. Did you know I believe it? I believe that everything God's ever done, he's done because his people in the world who get in all kinds of problems, physical and otherwise, he does it to help them, and then the world benefits by it. Because he gives us something to help us, it'll benefit other people until we leave this world. And God is a gracious God in doing these things for this world today. So faith does not deny our senses. Faith takes us beyond our senses as God tells us about things. Faith takes us beyond the right of our senses to determine the facts of life. I mean, here I am facing things, but I have faith that God has something better. And I know he has something better because I read it in this book, which gives me that extra dimension that I have in the spiritual world. God is a spirit, and his is beyond this life. You heard me talk about a little baby in a mother's womb coming in this life and don't want to come maybe to start with because they enjoy the environment and get here. Man, look what this is. Well, you take us in this life, that's like a womb in the world that you and I headed to is eternity. And sometimes we wonder what's on the other side. We don't know. We kind of hesitate sometimes about some things in life. But when we get there, we'll say, man alive, this is nothing compared to that. Where we at now is nothing compared to that. I can't imagine what it's going to be like, but it's going to be great, wonderful, and bigger than this universe. There's a dimension in the spiritual world, ladies and gentlemen, no one's ever seen except the Lord Jesus Christ, and he told us about it while he was here. And God gave a vision to John and Otto of Patmos, some things, but they had to do about things here. But what you see over there is going to be much greater than what you and I see here. We don't deny things in reality, but we have a higher power. It's our Heavenly Father. Look with me in 2 Corinthians with you, if you would, please. And this is about, I want to show you how he puts it. 2 Corinthians, look down about verses 6. We'll read 6 through 18, if possible. Notice what he says. He's first in verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine in our darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Note, he's always around Jesus Christ. You can never go wrong when Jesus shows up in these things and everything's around him. You better beware if somebody's showing you something, leaving Jesus out though. You hear what I'm saying? You better beware of that because God centered him everything. And he said, but we have this treasure in the earthly vessel that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Watch this. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. That's what we are here. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we're not troubled? He said, we're troubled on every side now, but we're not distressed. Why? It's the word of God that we walk by faith, not by sight. We trust him. And he goes on. He said, perplexed but not despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Isn't that amazing? The fact we're alive, we're always delivered unto death. Looks like we're going to be defeated every time we turn around. And it's for Jesus' sake. And yet God has said, we're not defeated, because great is he that's in the world. We can have victory in these things. So then they have work within us, but in life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing this, that he which raised up Jesus from the Lord Jesus will raise us also, and shall present us with you. Isn't that an amazing thing? I don't know exactly, but I go back to those 21 men who were killed in Egypt, because their faith in Christ. And I tried to think, what an awesome thought it might be to say, hey, you can deny Christ and live if you believe you're going to die. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You got to have something in you that's greater than the average man. That's when God says, subject to things hoped for. Evidence! But I ain't seen it yet, but it's there. It's there. Evidence of things not seen. We've not seen the street of gold, but God says it's there. We've not seen the mansion he's building, but God says they're there. We've not seen the throne that God saw, John saw some of it, but it's there. Everything God says about the eternal past or the future is there. And there's something about it that kicks in that you and I will never know until we come to that place that we have to make a decision to live or die for Christ. something kicks in, folks. All of this walking with God by faith, by sight, and wondering and bewildered, and that's what Paul's going through. All these things we go through by having victory in them. The same thing. If when I'm troubled and not distressed, perplexed, not despaired, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, not destroyed, all these things he lists through. If these be the thing, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also us by Jesus shall present us with you. There's something that kicks in then. It's like dying grace. It's something that kicks in that only God gives to those who at that moment need it because they've served him all this time. And you and I make decisions that we never thought we could because God gives us what's needed at the time we need it. Well, that's a blessing to know it was there. Know that's what God would do. He said, for all things are for your sakes, that the blueprint, that abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Now, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perishes, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. That's what I'm saying. All these things that face us, the world looks at, and God brings it through it. The outer man looks like he's defeated, but the inner man's been renewed. He's been strengthened inside. Next test will be worse than this one. And we'll go through it and look like he's going to swallow us. And then God brings us through it. The inner man is renewed. The outer man has been put down. The next test may be bigger than these we had so far. But he prepares us to get to it. And we've learned just exactly what faith means. Not so much just to depend upon God in the sense to get some things in this world just to be happy. But that we get what we need to please him. And then he goes on and like this. Then Paul said, for which cause we faint not, though outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And then Paul said this, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. Man alive, can he call what he went through light afflictions? God, forgive me for ever murmuring about anything wrong with me. And God must, I wonder sometimes, here late I get up a lot in the morning time complaining. And I say, Lord, let me complain a little bit. I sure need to get up. Maybe you're not that way. I don't know how. I believe I'm close to the Lord in things, but I declare that when things begin to change so fast on you and you're not used to, you can't understand some things. And I get there, but God always gives me an answer. I mean, why should I have to get up every morning and put my feet on the floor and hurt so bad until I can get going? Then it stops. I don't understand that. God will let me know when it's time, I guess. Then notice what he said, our light afflictions. Paul was in prison more than I've never been in prison preaching Christ. I hope I don't have to lose my head, but if I do, God help me do that. He did lose his, but he called it light afflictions. And then notice it says, but for a moment. Aren't you glad of that? What's that say by faith? It says, though 21 men who lost their head and outwardly led to that look so bad and so troublesome, but in a moment, it's over with. And then look where they're at. Then look what they're doing. Paul says, in a moment. That's what he puts here. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You think that was a light affliction they went through? Paul went through the same thing. He called it a light affliction. I can have a toe hurt, and I don't consider a light affliction. They must have something, folks. You know what? I want it. I want it. God knows I want it. I want to learn what they had. I want to learn what they had. And walk, you can't do it without walking by faith. You can't belittle everything God wants you to do either. You're going to have, there's a cost to be paid along the way. I pray, God, help me. If nobody else, I pray, please help me. I'd like to know exactly what they had. And maybe he is teaching us all where we're at to move to the next level, the next level, the next level. So whenever we have to face, he's prepared us. We don't even know it because we walk with him daily. Somebody said, walk by faith, how long? Every day. Walk by faith, how long? Every day. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every month, every year, every week is walking by faith. And then he gets us there, you see. Then I like, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. I know this. Paul, along with others who lost their head for Christ, going to be rewarded a lot more than you and I who lived in this life and did very little for him. Preacher, you shouldn't say that. Well, I did anyhow. Verse 18. Then notice, here's the key to the whole thing. I think this is key. I wrote out years ago my key for this. While we look not at the things which are seen. This goes back to Hebrews 11. We don't look for the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are, tell me, eternal. What? Everything you have, everything you see around you, everything in this life, God says in the end results is temporal. But everything I prepared for you in eternity is eternal. I like that. So I go back and I talk about the law of God, which is Moses, and this is through. I'm through. We finished this whole course, this whole thing. The law of God, Romans 7, 22, that's the law of God, it's the law of Moses that gives. That's a holy law. Romans set forth six laws to deal with. There's the law of Moses, which condemns us, Romans 3, 19 and 20. It condemns us because that is the law of God we cannot ever keep. Been proven that. Then's the law of faith, which excludes self-righteousness, Romans 3, 27. Where the law of Moses condemns us, then the law of faith excludes self-righteousness and gives us the righteousness that God had, His Son had, when He came, that we might live with Him forever. There's the law of sin, which is victorious over the law of the mind, Romans 7, 21, 23, and 25. That's what Paul talked about, how the law of sin worked in his body and how he had victory over it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he talked about the law of the mind that consents to Moses' law, but it's hard to practice due to the law of sin in our members. The law of the mind, you see that in Romans chapter 7 too. The law of the mind, you know, but it's hard to practice because there's the law of sin that's in our members trying to rise up, and you got to find a way to put it down. Then there's the law of the Spirit, which is given to me, power over the law of sin, if I will yield to it, Romans 8, verse 2 through 4. And then there's the law as a principle, Romans 3, 21. This principle is, in Christ I have the power to walk spiritually. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul calls it walk in the Spirit. And if I walk in the Spirit, he tells me that I will not walk in the law of the flesh. So I've got to learn what that means to walk in the Spirit. So in Christ, I have the power to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, the law of the Spirit will renew my mind, so I can have victory over the law of sin that Moses got at Mount Sinai from God. Now I'm seeing that law of sin I can never keep, but the law of faith gives me something through Jesus Christ that the law of sin can never do, because the law of sin, the law of Moses condemned me and everyone else. But the law of faith in Jesus Christ releases me from that curse. Now when I get this together, now I realize more why it's to walk by faith and not by sight. One day our faith will turn to sight, and I thank God Almighty for that. So ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, God wants us to walk by faith, and keep in mind, walk by His faith. Talking about our individual faith. Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this study. Not a very good presentation of it, but I tried. I've certainly spent the time in studying this, Lord. I've got so many notes I've written, I typed and everything else, and I put typed notes and written notes because of the sake of time, the Lord, that I handwritten, wrote out. I just pray that I put it together in systematic order in a way that God could be honored and that you could bless people to see what's going on. All three of these looked at together in series would be understand what it means to walk by faith. That is now, faith is the subject of things hoped for. Now, right now, in this time, subject of things hoped for. It's more than the hope of man by chance, because there's a divine element behind it. God who said he cannot lie, keeps his promises. And dear Father, we can go beyond that and understand how the difference in hope and faith and what faith can do for us to see that which God has prepared. The world says, hey, there's nothing to that, there's nothing to God, there's nothing about this thing. It's just religious arena that people get in to try to trick other people and convince other people, and since they don't have answers, they go with who they want to go with. Lord, we know that's not so. We believe that God is, and therefore we must diligently seek Him. And then all these other things will fall in place. Help someone, Lord. I don't know. I believe there's some people that have been to the place. They needed their faith strengthened. And I don't know if I have said enough to do it, but I believe that if they were go back and look at this and ask God to help them, you will strengthen them. Maybe you do it in the presentation of this, but may you strengthen them, Lord, to walk by faith more and not be mocked just because sometimes it looks like our faith is disannulled. Peter said, don't listen to the mockery of those who would come and say that Jesus is not coming again. It's been 2,000 years since he came. He's not come yet. Most of the time, you think that something that important would already take place. And he tells us not to worry about that mocking. Just keep looking to the eastern sky. For God said he's going to come one day. And Jesus said, I will return. Let not your heart be troubled. Believing God, believe so in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. Praise your holy name. And receive it in myself. Where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. Bless our people this week because they came tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.